This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Afternoon to all our listeners today. I'm your host, Terry Honey, and this is Couples of Destiny. You know, I'm so excited about today because it's a very special day. You know, this is a channel and a program where faith is and love is strengthened. Faith is deepened and marriages are equipped to walk in purpose together. Two can walk together. The Bible says that two is better than one. So because when two hearts follow God, destiny unfolds. I'm so excited about what's happening today and our special guests that we have on lined up for you today. Don't forget to share the broadcast, invite your friends and those who are married and those who want to get married. We have Dr. Andre Lowe and his lovely wife, Prophetess Faye, coming online with us on our Zoom link in a short while. You know, it's the beginning of a new quarter, the 1st of April today. So it's the beginning for you, for your business, your ministry, your marriage, whether you're planning or something personal. And it's also time for us to review our vision, reset our goals, and to realign with God's purposes. I like to think of it as a spiritual recalibration moment. So let this be your moment. Let it be a moment where you're trusting God for breakthroughs. Let this be your moment today, the 1st of April. I like to think of this as this recalibration, because what had God spoken to you in the past? What did He speak to you about for this year? And what needs adjusting in your life, in your ministry, in your marriage, in your relationships? You know, because this is a time for pruning and renewing. This week is sacred, it's weighty, it's powerful, and it's the week that reminds us that love doesn't quit, even when it's stressed.
It's absolutely wonderful. We're doing well.
Good evening, Jerry. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. I hope you had a good rest.
Yeah.
Well, it's been awesome, you know, just having you guys online, and I'm sure a lot of people are excited to hear what God has in store for us this day. And we're speaking about how strong marriages can endure in such difficult times that people are facing. I just want to read a little bit about this couple's bio. For those of you who haven't seen the Facebook post, a little bit about them. Faye shares, she's a prophetess. She says a powerful testimony of transformation and a passion to see lives restored and empowered, while Dr. Andre brings over 30 years of ministry experience equipping believers to grow in the prophetic with strong biblical foundation, and together they bring a timely word for couples under the theme that love endures. And this is a prophetic release for relationships to be strengthened, restored, and aligned with God's purpose. And I'm so excited because I don't want to hear my voice today. I just want to hand every moment of this show over to this dynamic couple. I just am so impressed with your ministry. You know, I listen to you online sometimes, and I know that this moment had to happen in this time. And I spoke earlier about the 1st of April being a time for new things. It's the beginning of a new quarter, a refresh, realignment, and all of that. So if you've just tuned in, listeners, you know, welcome to this powerful afternoon, a Holy Week conversation. And this is not just about marriage, it's about covenant. It's about endurance and also about the love that survives under pressure. So today, this trusting couple, you know, they were trusting God also for restoration, healing, and alignment. And joined with these two people, I want to start off, you know, I mean, the scripture tells me in Matthew 24:12, Dr. Andre, that because of the increases of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. And then Revelation 2:4 reminds us, you have forsaken the love that you had first. Why do you think so many couples struggle to sustain love over time?
Oh, that's a very good question. I'm going to jump in there. Just want to commend my wife for being with me today. Amen. It's always good to have a power team. I always tell people, just in a nutshell, I always say that my wife is my 9,000. And the reason why I say that is because the Bible says that one will put 1,000 to flight and two will put 10,000 to flight. So if I'm just doing this alone, then I can only put 1,000 to flight. But when she comes next to me and she's by my side, she gives me the 9,000 I need to get into that grace, and that's what we're doing. So I want to talk a little bit about, the question is, why do you think couples struggle to sustain love over time? Well, the first problem we have, and it's going to be quite an eye-opener to a lot of people, is what we call it a biological-driven phase of passion. I call it a biological-driven phase of passion, which is the first 6 to 18 months that any relationship goes through. And so what happens there is that we have this what we call honeymoon phases. So we come into a relationship, we come into a marriage, and it's really, everything's just blissful.
Yeah.
Okay. To really shift from that, we have to get to a place where we fix this, because we have to become what we call deliberate conscious shifts have to take place. And that's needed from both parties. So instead of falling in love, we have to get to the concept of creating love.
Mm.
When I say that again, I want you to listen to what I'm saying. So we fall in love, and I have a little joke I always say. I say, if you fall in love, you're going to get hurt.
Mm.
Because it's like you don't fall into love, you grow into love.
Yes.
Okay? So that first moment where you meet that person, it's an infatuation, it's an amazing moment. Biologically, you're excited about it, and then you have to get into a place of maturity. Most people don't ever get into that place of maturity. Sometimes that honeymoon phase can last for 2-3 years, and then you have to move from that idea of falling in love to creating love. So many relationships fail due to the lack of love because of a couple of things, and there's three primary things that really, they shift the criteria of how that love will grow. And the first one is what we call accumulated daily stress.
Mm.
So everybody has stress, but then there's accumulation of it. That begins to filter into your relationship. The second one is unresolved resentment. Quite a big word to say, unresolved resentment. What does that mean? Well, that means that simply that after a long period of difficult circumstances that happen over and over and over, you're getting to habitual ideas and habitual speaking, and you get into habitual ways of responding to each other, and that later on becomes resentfulness. Third thing, which is quite interesting, is what we call the misconception that love should be without effort, and that's a massive misconception. Love is hard work. It's incredibly hard work. Okay, you have to work on it. It has to grow. You have to fertilize it. You have to prune it. You have to develop it. And so when you look at that initial stage, you're looking at these two things called dopamine and dopamine and oxytocin.
Mm-hmm.
Oxytocin. There you go. So you got this dopamine and your oxytocin, and that creates passion and the intense attraction in early stages. Okay? And what happens is, when that starts to lift, it becomes really, really strange for most men. And most men, and I'm going to be real now. Real talk.
That's what it's about.
Most men, they're looking for the chase. They're looking for that adrenaline. They're looking for that. You know, man was born a hunter, right?
Mm.
So, love fade. Well, man wants to hunt. So he's always been a hunter since the early stages of creation. Man has always been a hunter. So when he gets into a relationship with his wife, in the beginning, he's hunting. He's hunting, he's buying her roses, he's pursuing her, he's doing everything he can to do the hunt. And the end result, of course, is marriage. And then, of course, when people get married, they believe that the hunt ends. And so when that feeling of the hunt is ended, they move into a place of mistaking comfort for boredom, for example. So now they're comfortable in the relationship. And then they decide to say, well, you know what, I'm bored in this marriage. I'm bored in this relationship. I'm bored with this relationship I have with my wife. And so love starts to peel away because they've lost that ability to hunt. So comfort is not taking the place of, I'm going to try and get the words right here because it might sound crazy. I'm going to put it this way, okay? As relationships become safer and more predictable, couples often mistake this healthy stability or boredom or a loss of love. Rather, as a transition to a deeper and more enduring form of connection. So when we start to navigate that way, we can realize then that we have to continue the hunt. There's a little bit of play that's involved in this thing, and a lot of people have lost their play. For example, you turn to your wife after 3 or 4 years or 5 years or 6 years or 10 years, and you give her a phone call, and you start to flirt with her, and you say, look, I want to take you on a romantic dinner, and, you know, and you begin to, you know, flirt with her like the way you did when you first had to pursue her. You're going to begin to navigate into a place where you're going to keep things fresh and alive. Okay. So what we want to do is when we talk about people falling in love, people don't fall out of love. I'm going to use this terminology. They fall out of communication, and communication is a block of relationship. And so someone's listening right now and they're in a situation where they're saying, you know what, you know, I'm no longer attracted to my wife, or I'm no longer attracted to my husband, or I'm no longer feel like excited about our relationship. Well, that's happening because you got comfortable and now you become bored in a relationship. And say that's a reality, because when people make mistakes in their marriages, it's because they are saying things like, you know, I got bored, or I got fed up with this situation. They forgot that comfort that is there, that ability to be able to sit in the couch and just exist, does not mean you're bored. But God wants to do something else. He wants to renew you. Amen. And he wants to refresh you, and he wants to revive you. The Bible says, can dry bones come alive? Yes, they can.
They can. Now, on that note, Dr. Andre, we're going to break with a song. And the song is actually From These Bones. How apt is that? You were just saying From These Dry Bones. And this is a song by the Invitation Fate, Annick Jordan. We're going to listen to From Dry Bones. That sentence?
No, I think we're on a good page. I just want to, just before my wife starts giving her beautiful voice out there, it's imperative that people that are watching listen to me very carefully. If you really want to sustain your relationship with your wife, you have to almost wake up every morning and see her for the first time. You have to see her. Come on, speak with me.
That's beautiful.
You have
love
to
it.
See her for the first time. And you have to see him for the first time. And to do that, you have to make sure that before you go to bed at night, you sort out the matters.
Yes. Absolutely.
That you fix up very quickly. If you don't, then what happens is a spirit of bitterness starts to peak in. And you start to lose your fire. Watching this, and I hope that you guys will make this viral, and I'm sure it's going to help someone's life.
Oh, for sure. You know, I always say, people even listen on the replay and they get so encouraged by this. I just want to comment there. O'Brien Preston is saying hi, Faye and Dr. Andre, and then they're saying greetings, everyone, and Vika saying very profound, and Heidi also says hi, family. So I just want to get into the questions, you know, that we would like to ask you. I know there's a lot of silent struggles in ministry, and many couples in ministry look strong publicly, but privately there are battles. You know, I know the Word of God says that we are hard pressed in on every side, but what are some of the silent struggles that couples face in ministry that people don't talk about?
Thank you so much. That is a very relevant question, because, you know, we have a lot of ministers that is really facing a lot. But before I do that, I want to just say, you know, to my amazing, gorgeous husband, it's so good to do life with you. I actually want you on screen with me, you know?
Can I
just have you on the screen with me?
I actually paid it.
I just would love to have you with me. So so real.
So we can stay like this together.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I paid her. I gave her $100. I said, listen, you do that, and I'll get your nails
done. Hey, and so, nails.
Yes, absolutely. He takes good care of me. I take good care of you. Here we go.
Okay, what you need to realize is that those that are in ministry, their lives are incredibly intense.
Yes.
First of all, that they're not working. They're not working 8 to 5 hours. You know, they're not working a 9 to 5 job. Sometimes from 4 o'clock in the morning praying for people. Sometimes even earlier.
Tell us about
and
it.
My wife. And then they'll go through a whole day, and then they'll still minister at the evenings. So the life is very, very intense. And so you can imagine with that kind of intensity, how much pressure comes upon those men of God and those women of God. And so any man of God or any woman of God that has endured the ministry together, big thumbs up to you.
Yes,
big thumbs up
absolutely.
To you.
Absolutely.
If you survive the ministry, my God, you'll survive anything.
Yes.
Love, tell us.
Okay.
How easy is it?
It is not. The warfare is real. The attacks are real. The opposition is real. But we thank you for the power of the blood of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
And our unity, because that's where God commands his blessing. And also just praying together really just is something that's very, very important. The Bible says in 1 Samuel verse 16 that man looks at the outward and God looks at the inward appearance. So God is really very concerned about the matters of our heart. And it's so easy, many people out there protect the outward appearance. People want to look good, keep it together, looking all perfect, Yet on the inside, you're really bleeding and really struggling. And so, and so that's why we are very transparent.
No, we
are extremely transparent.
We are so transparent, you can probably see through us.
Yes, you can. Because we want people to know out there that we also face, we don't just walk with our heads in the cloud the whole day, We really do face the challenges.
I think if you want to be relevant, and those that are watching and listening, you want to be relevant, you need to understand that if you are in a mess and it's really, really bad, and most people run to the perfect couple, and they're going to ask the perfect couple for a perfect solution.
Mm-mm.
The chances are you're not going to get the perfect answer.
Mm.
You really need to find someone that's been through some hell. You've got to find someone that's gone through some really tough times, some difficult moments, so they can have the grace to be able to speak into your situation.
Like we have. We've been through some difficult times, and thank God we've gained the victories, through Christ.
Men, women, what do you expect?
I'm at a porter. What do you expect?
I don't even know what you are.
Dr. Andre, I like this. You know what? Because I just realized when God made woman, he had to put man to sleep. Why? Why did he have to put you to sleep to form us? Because I think what?
I'm listening. Tell us.
I think the man would have said, God, no, don't do it like this. I want more of that. And then God would have, Yeah, I think men, obviously, because I think there's a reason for everything. God took us out of your side so we can sit like she's sitting next to you. My husband couldn't be next to me today. So, he's going to get it from me. He needs to listen to this broadcast tonight. Anyway.
When Adam woke up, he looked at her and he went, woo! And he went, bad.
Yeah.
And so God said, I call a woman.
Hey, when you woke up, what did you... Told me, what did you
do?
Also go, woo! Did you?
No, I said, oh God, help my credit cards.
Okay.
That's why you're blessed. Right. Absolutely. So the struggles. But people don't talk about those kind of struggles. And it's real. It's real.
The thing is, we're always pouring out so much, into everyone else. And then we come to a place where we forget to really pour out into each other.
Mm.
We're pouring out and then we come up empty and drained. And so this is, why even Jesus, the Bible says in Luke 5, verse 16, he even withdrew, so he can fill up. And that's where our Mondays come in, We have long services over the weekend, and then on a Monday, it's our time to pour into each other, our time to really have some fun, to let the hair down and really just unwind.
Yeah.
And it's wonderful to do that. It's refreshing. You know, we refresh ourselves not only in worship, in the word, and pouring to each other, but also having some fun for a change. Mm. And so, is there anything else?
Yeah, I'm going to say this.
I know you are. So
one of the reasons why when we counsel, I've counseled a lot of men of God and a lot of, well, my wife's counseled many women. One of the rules we have is I never counsel women ever. And my wife doesn't counsel men, but we do it together.
The healthy boundaries.
They have really healthy boundaries.
Absolutely.
But what we found out is that 90% of arguments that take place mostly in ministers' lives is because of a thing called ministerial depression. Mm. And you're going to ask me, what is ministerial depression? I'll tell you what it is. So when you're preparing for that meeting and you're preparing to be used by God, before you prepare, there's a lot of anxiety that takes place. And you say, what are you talking about? Well, you know, there's a pressure. You have to deliver a word. You have to bring something to the people. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of pressure. If you're prophetic, you become very sensitive. I'm going to be very real now. I'm very real. You become very, very sensitive. If you're apostolic or you're ministerially connected to God in that way, you become sensitive because everything that is inside of you is tuning in to the Holy Ghost. You're tuning into God. Mm. So before a meeting, you know, something small can really just mess up your day. Just a little thing gone wrong, a dog ran off with a cat, whatever, or the goldfish committed suicide and drowned, whatever it is, it can really mess up. So there's a kind of a rule that should take place to protect that, and that is, before the meeting or before that meeting happens, the preparation, separate from each other for that time. Yeah. Let there be a time of tranquility where you can have, you know, nothing interferes with you, nothing interrupts with you, and you focus on what God wants you to do. And of course, you have to then accept it as a wife, and you have to accept it as a husband, that during that time, if your wife is preaching or you preaching, whatever it is, that you surround that husband or that minister with protection. Because if you don't do that, what will happen is you could have an argument, and you could have an argument just before meeting. And I think all the men of God that are watching this and listening to this, they're going to say, that's absolutely true. And the problem with that is that you get behind the pulpit. And then if you minister under that thing, the chances are your wife's going to look at you and say, you're a hypocrite.
That is so true.
Yeah. And say, you're such a hypocrite. In the gospel, and you're saying that, but you're doing another thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we want to try and help people to remove that idea of, you know, being called a hypocrite. Are you with me?
Yeah.
And to actually live Christ. So you put these boundaries in place. You sit down with your family and you work it out. And so my wife's got to a place now where she kind of understands that. But when you come out of that meeting, when you leave that meeting, there is a high in that meeting. People are healed. People are touched. Lives are transformed.
Yes.
It's like you've been on a high, and now suddenly you come back to the normal point of life, and you're gonna hit the deck.
Yeah,
you're literally gonna hit. True. And that's what we call ministerial depression.
Mm.
So most, when they come out of that, they high while they're preaching. The next day, they just feel flat.
Yeah,
they feel as if they've poured out their whole heart, and that can become a real big problem.
Yeah,
so that's what we do. We Monday off, so we can just.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. And that's the Lord's way of doing it. He says, I'm giving you time off. You know, you need to take time to rest and recalibrate, revive and restore.
I will forgive. And if you
part two of this coming up in April, God willing, a pet. I'm doing this live because I feel like this couple, we need not even two sessions. We need probably six or seven sessions with them. But I want to just ask you one question. The one thing that I really am encouraged with is the one about how can spiritual warfare affect marriages and how do couples discern it? Because this is something that is really deep that we can go in, because the Bible says in Ephesians, our struggle is not against flesh and blood.
I would say this is yours. Go ahead.
Babe.
Fire away. Fire away.
I'm going to do part of it. You can do the rest. Right? We're a team. You know what I'm saying? The reality is that, you know, the first thing that I want to say is that we must be very careful not to allow the things that happen in ministry to flow over into our marriage or bring it home. You know, we have a rule where...
You got to explain that, though.
A rule is when we leave church, we leave church. And when we get home, we are home. So it doesn't spill over into, you know, and that happens, unfortunately, in many marriages, many situations. And it causes a lot of conflict. It causes a lot of confusion. It causes a lot of strife. And from that, in regards to the spiritual dynamic, you know, that we are very aware. Is it at? Look at the bigger picture. And so we know that, you know, the God says with his unity, he commands a blessing. And the spirit of division is causing strife. And so where if the enemy can find a legal ground to enter in and cause that division, then the unity is destroyed. And it's a ripple effect where it affects everything else, you know, the ministry or...
I think we have a bit of a bandwidth issue there. We are not hearing what you're saying. We're breaking up.
Yeah. So if the Bible says, you know, when you if you prosper, your soul prospers, you will prosper. How do we prosper if it's disunity? Mm. And the disunity comes division. And then when, for example, if there's an argument happening, you know, sometimes I love what you do. I'm going to be, can I be real?
You can.
Can I be real? Sometimes
I'm a bit nervous, but go ahead.
Sometimes if there's a little bit of strife, we'll be real. We're all real. Okay. Sometimes a little bit of strife. You know what you will do sometimes is you'll say, Faye, we need to stop right now and pray and discern what's happening here. It's not always easy to stop in the middle of, you know, of what seems to be chaos. But when you do pray with me, there's everything settles, and then we begin to identify the root of where it's coming from.
You see what happens is, in ministry, we need to get this reality. And I know there's a lot of people out there, but I'm going to talk to ministers, and I'm going to talk to people right now. We are built differently. I am a man. She's a woman. Thank God that is a reality. Thank you, Jesus. You might have the same kind of hair, all right? We have the same... But in reality, she's a woman.
Yeah.
She's been designed a certain way. I've been designed a certain way. So when I don't see a problem, I don't see a problem. And I think 99% of men will go and say the same thing. Like, what are you talking about? I don't see a problem. However, your wife, because she's a woman.
Emotionally wired.
What is that? Say it again.
We're emotionally wired. God designed us that way.
Yeah, so what happens is she sees everything that can go wrong. She sees warnings. She's a watchman on the wall.
Absolutely.
And we have to learn. So I've learned how to listen to her and to hear her, to really listen and hear her. So when she feels something, I don't see it as she's weaponizing it, but she has a real concern. As a pastor, by heart. So as a pastor, I'm loving all the people. I'm loving and I'm caring for people. I just want to love people. And my wife will come along and say, I want you to warn you about that person there. They're going to hurt you, or that person there has got another agenda. And, you know, 99% of the time, my wife would be right. She would be right. But as a pastor, of course, I'm going to love the people, irrespective. And then later on, we find out that person actually, you know, spoke bad or hurt us in some area.
Ouch, yeah. And
we know that it can have a lot of strife in ministry couples when they feel that their wife is actually opposing their ministry because of the spirit of discernment.
Yeah, that's happening a lot. You know, we hear a lot of couples coming to that place. the discernment is real.
More than just that.
Maybe you've really opened up a can of worms. Oh,
worms, babe. We're keeping it very real. Yeah, we're definitely going to need more sessions to that. But
they're going to talk about Terry now. The whole of Cape Town's going to talk about Terry. Did you see what Terry did? She opened up a real...
Listen, this is the reality, you know, because people don't want to talk about these things. And I always say, let's not be put up a facade when we're on social media or when we're in front of the audience or behind a pulpit. You know, a lot of people, there are just too many masks. And these masks have got to come off. It's hurting the body of Christ. They are preachers that are bleeding, you know, that are preaching from a place of pain and hurt, and you can hear it in their sermons, you know. And we know that this discernment is so relevant for us now as people of God. But what does it mean to fight for your marriage in the spirit, not just in the flesh?
You've got 1 minute to answer this.
Babe, you got a minute to answer this.
You can answer it.
Babe.
This is actually, we just had a domestic argument, guys. You see that? We just had a domestic argument. That was the height of our argument right there. Mm. First of all.
Okay, must I go?
Go ahead.
Okay.
Fire away.
Okay, I'm the first thing for me, fighting for my marriage
Fighting
for our marriage.
Fighting the spiritual thing.
Fighting the spiritual thing.
Every area of your.
Yeah. The first thing for me personally is where, you know, forgiveness is something that you must choose. And whatever the situation is, I have to first forgive to be able to pray for my marriage and then for my husband. And then that works both ways. And many times it's very, very difficult because the hurt is real. You know, the opposition is real. And so not only just praying for you, but also in the area of submitting as well to your discernment.
Yeah.
You know?
You see, at the end of the day, the man has to make the decision. Because he's the head. He has to make the decision.
Mm.
And so the good counsel that he gets from his wife will determine what good decision he makes.
Mm.
But once that decision has been made, the wife will have to submit to that decision and move forward with that, even if it's good or bad.
And how about getting into our inner
court? Really,
I don't know. But I'm saying I remember the time where he would lay, like I wouldn't see him for the whole night, maybe even the whole day, just hidden in his secret place. In regards to fighting for our marriage, marriage. Yeah.
We'll talk about that more. The part two is still coming, remember?
Right, right. I mean, this is exciting, you know. I mean, people need to face the reality, and this is where we are at the moment. You know, the thing with couples are that they don't talk about these things, and sometimes they need people like you and I to open up that can of worms so that they can address it and say, oh, wow, we're not the only ones having this problem. And yes, it's okay. I mean, my husband and I are just as transparent. When we have our Couples of Destiny workshops, we shoot from the hip, boy, you know. There's no hiding, you know. How can you twist something or make it seem unreal if it's not real? You know, I just feel like there's just so much lies. Andre Lowe and Prophetess Faye. It's not going to be just one of those moments where we end a show with just a prayer. I want to allow Holy Spirit to speak through you. There are people that will listen and those who are online at the moment. We're speaking about discernment and forgiveness and the mask that must come off and how to be real with each other and bring out those things that we hide, you know, and just honor one another in that way and respect. You know, we always have this line in the book that we read on he wants respect and she wants love. You know, and I listen to this couple and I see this in real life. You know, we can only be power couples when we're doing things that are filled with the Spirit of the Lord and being led by the Spirit of God. So man and woman of God, I know there's so many questions I want to ask you. I want to ask you about spiritual imbalance as well, but I would love to give you the opportunity to just wrap up this afternoon with whatever God has put in your heart that you feel you need to release in this new season, being the beginning of a new thing in the world as it is the 1st of April.
All right, so I'm going to let my wife first talk, and then I'll conclude.
Amen.
Go ahead, watch some. Love you.
I love you too. So I just want to encourage the couples out there, especially those in the fivefold ministers, those of you that, you know, God has entrusted the people into your care, amen, and your families. And so whatever it is that you're facing right now, giving up is not an option, amen. And so my encouragement is to you is to lean into God, as difficult as it is. And my prayer is that God will send you help. God will send you destiny helpers. There is a company of people that actually will bring you back to a place of to restoration, or love you from a place of brokenness into wholeness. People that you can trust. It's not easy in the ministry because we can't always trust people, you know. But my prayer is that the Lord will send you help, send you destiny helpers to be able to pray with you, to stand with you, to be that Aaron and that Hur, to lift up your hands, that you will gain the victory, and that you know, you will not settle just for a divorce. You will not settle for it. We're fighting for marriages. We always standing firm together to fight for marriages. And you know, when the enemy can take out the head, it takes out the neck, and it takes out the body. And so it's just not even about you out there. It's just not even about the attack. It's just on you. We got to see the bigger picture. We got to see the ministry. We got to see our children, our families is looking to us. And so I pray that you will remember the call of God in your life, and you will come back to your first love, and that the fire of God will be ignited in your marriage, in your hearts, and even on the altar of intercession, and that you will come together and pray in unity and not be consumed and blinded and become completely bent over by the circumstances, by the pressures that you are facing. And that I want to close up by saying, do not give up. Do not walk away from what God has called you for. Do not, what God has spoken of your life prophetically, what he has started, he will bring about to completion, and he will fulfill that which he has spoken of your life, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes, what we have is, we have a dimension in God where we have individual prophecy and we have corporate prophecy. And what God does is, he can speak a word in a general over a people. And what I'm going to do is, I'm going to do that now, if you don't mind. I've got a couple of minutes to do that. I'm going to release that. And then when you listen to this, some of it will not make sense to you if you're watching this or if you're listening to this. But some of you might just ponder on it, and it might just come of you. All right. So, Father, I thank you for the anointing. Father, the Spirit of God says, surely this is a season, says the Spirit of God, where I kindle a new flame on the inside of you, where I restore the hopes, says the Spirit of God, of those things that have been broken down in your life. The Lord says there is many things, says the Spirit of God, that you have faced, that you have endured, that you have seen, things that have broken you down, things that have broken your spirit down to a point where you didn't feel like you had any worth left in you. There were moments where you felt that you needed to fight and fight the circumstances around you and stand up for yourself. There were moments, says the Spirit of God, where you just wanted to run, just like the Spirit of God would move upon you in this hour to shift you and change you. There is that moment, says the Spirit of God, where you have found yourself in a place of weakness, like my prophet Elijah, who ran away from the voices and ran away from the onslaught. Many of you, says the Spirit of God, have run away. You've run away from the responsibility of a family, run away from the difficulties that you are facing in your home and in your relationships, run away even from your destiny. The Spirit of God says, I'm finding you today, even under the shadow of this voice. I'm finding you in that cave, and I'm about to speak into you. For the Lord says, you have literally come to a place where you could not move. You've come to a place where it felt like the heavens was closed over you. You found yourself in a place where you felt that the heavens were brass. But I hear the Lord saying, I'm going to open up the heavens again to you. And I'm going to release a clarity to you. And I'm going to give you an understanding. And that cloud that came over you, and that confusion that came over you, and that moment of making some bad decisions is going to clear, says the Spirit of God. And even as it clears, I'm going to send my Spirit to you and give you wisdom and counsel and understanding to make the right decision in this season, says Jesus the Lord. Name.
Amen. God. Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much, Dr. Andre and Prophetess. We are so blessed to have had you on our show, and we shall definitely be having you back. So right now, I know that there are many couples listening that may be tired, but you're not finished. What feels like pressure to you is not meant to break you. It's refining you. Allow the Spirit of the Lord to refine you in this time and in this season. So, Father, we just thank you for every couple listening right now, where there was distance, that you are bringing closeness again, Father God. Thank you, Lord, that you bless them and keep them, that we declare restoration, unity, and peace over every listener today in the mighty name of Jesus. Well, this is your host, Terry Honey, Couples of Destiny. And remember, building marriages that impact generations. Thank you, Dr. Ann Prophet.
Bless you.
Bless you.
I hope you invite her.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.